As he said, I'm Amy Kinner. I'm from Portland, Maine, and I work for a company called OnPoint Health Data. And we're a not-for-profit organization that works with healthcare claims, mainly claims data. We've been around for about 30 years, working with all sorts of healthcare data, but currently most of our work is with the all-payer claims databases. And I'm not an economist, I'm a health services researcher. A couple of my colleagues helped a lot on this presentation. Carl Finneson, who's our Director of Analytic Services, Rebecca Sims, and Lisa Blue. And I think there are really two goals that I want to get out of this presentation. And the first is to introduce you to the all-payer claims databases, which probably a lot of economists aren't familiar with, but it's a rich source of data that may be useful to you and some of your analyses. And also talk about we've developed a combined effective and preventive care score, and to give you some insight into how we did that and how we're, some of the applications we're using it for.
Amy, would you mind if I sat in the audience?
That would be great.
Okay.
Go ahead. I have no disclosures to make. So the all-payer claims database is a powerful state-mandated tool for understanding healthcare. And it's a rich data set. It includes medical and pharmacy claims and enrollment data. And we calculate a lot of rates from this, and the claims would be the numerator, and enrollment data, how many people are enrolled in healthcare plans, would be the denominator. It includes ICD-9 diagnosis codes, so you can look at what kind of conditions people have, ICD-9 procedure codes, CPT HCPCS codes, which talk about the services that people are receiving, and NDC codes, which are drug codes or pharmacy codes. So there's just a ton of information in there, and these data sets are pretty complicated, but they allow you to do a lot of analyses that are difficult to do otherwise. The data comes, it's mandated in a variety of states, and I'll talk more about what states are mandating this, for commercial payers to submit all their data. So those are payers like Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, Cigna. And in some states, we're starting to get Medicaid and Medicare data, but those Medicaid and Medicare are lagging behind the commercial at this point. So this gives us a repository. We can look at disease prevalence. We can look at effective and preventive care, which I'll talk more about as the presentation goes along, utilization, and payments, which is what a lot of you might be interested in. So here are the states with all-payer claims databases. We do most of our work up, we're in Maine, so we do a lot of our work up in the Northeast. We work with Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, and we do analytics with those. We also collect the claims data from Minnesota and Tennessee. And you can see there's also data being collected in Utah, Kansas, and Maryland, and Massachusetts. A variety of states are starting to implement these databases. We'll soon be getting data out of Oregon, Colorado, West Virginia, New York, and Rhode Island. And the lighter blue are states with a strong interest that will probably come online in the future. This is one of the products we produce with from the data, and it contains a wide variety of utilization, quality, and cost data. It's our report card, and we do this for states. We do it for employers, like large employers might want to know how their employees are using care, how much it costs, and how effective their care is. And we also do a lot of customized reports that we work with researchers who want to dig into the data. We work with states and employers to do customized reports as well. So I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with the Healthcare Effectiveness Data and Information Set, or HEDIS, but this is developed and maintained by the National Committee for Quality Assurance. So it's a national sort of national standards of how to measure effective care. And it's used by 90% of health plans to measure performance. And it can be used to compare plan performance. We've started using it calculating HEDIS rates from the All Payer Claims database to get an idea of over a larger geographic scale, not just plan specific, like not just what Blue Cross members, but what the whole population, the whole commercial population, what type of rates of effective care they are seeing. And this just is to show the type of geographic analyses we do. We found that Vermont had a rate that was about 6 percentage points lower than Maine, and these states are pretty similar. So we were kind of trying to figure out, why is this happening? Are there certain areas in Vermont that are just not getting breast cancer screens? It's just not part of the culture. People don't have access to mammograms or that sort of thing. Or is it prevalent throughout the state that they're not doing as well as Maine? And what we found by mapping it was that Vermont does kind of throughout the state have lower rates of breast cancer screening for some reason. And we're going to talk to Vermont next week to sort of try to find out what might be going on here. It's interesting that in Maine, some of the darkest areas are the rural areas. So somehow there, people are getting access to mammograms there. Let me just go. For well-child visits, we also wanted to look at what was going on between Maine and Vermont, and we saw kind of the opposite effect where Vermont kids age 3 to 6 were much more likely to get their well-child visits than in Maine. And in this case, the Maine rural areas, which is kind of the north up here, and over here is a rural, and down here, their kids were having trouble getting their well-child visits. Whereas a lot of these other areas, like Portland, Lewiston, Waterville, and Bangor, do have major cities. So now to go back to acute low back pain, here we saw sort of a more distributed pattern. For acute low back pain, if you have an episode of acute low back pain, you should not be getting an imaging study. That's what the national standard is, unless it turns into a more chronic issue. So the darker areas are areas where people did not get those imaging studies. So if you got an imaging study, that's considered unnecessary care. So in this case, we saw that it's really, geographically, there's not a great pattern going on. It's really hard to tell what's going on, but that there are definitely a lot of differences in how people are receiving care by geography. Oops. Okay, so that's just the type of analysis we were doing, looking at individual HEDIS measures. And we do these same type of analyses looking at payments, payments for certain providers or certain types of providers, looking at utilization as well. But this presentation is more focused on the HEDIS measures. So what are the advantages of using the All Payer Claims database for HEDIS? It allows you to do these type of geographic reporting. When you're just looking at plan-specific data, a lot of times there's not enough people in each area to really analyze by geography. It also allows you to look at a combined measure for the state. And it's when plans do HEDIS measures, they actually do a hybrid method where they do some surveys and chart audits. We don't do that. We're just looking at the claims. So in that way, it's a little bit more efficient and less costly. You can get information a lot more quickly. And for some measures, like mammograms, we think that it may even be more accurate because these are always being billed, and they may not appear in the chart. Whoops. But some of the disadvantages are that we probably do see for a lot of measures lower rates because we're not doing the chart review to accompany it. And we think over the long term, electronic health records are going to be the best way to get this type of data or health information exchanges, but those systems aren't really there yet. Okay, so now that we've looked at some individual measures, now I'm going to talk about how we developed a combined measure and that allowed us to start to look at value of care and overall efficiency of care. We run about 100 HEDIS measures, and probably about 17 of them we present in our report card, which is a standard report. But these are the ones that we decided to include in the composite HEDIS measure. So it's most of the main ones, things such as diabetes care, whether diabetics were getting their hemoglobin A1C and LDL tests, breast cancer screening for younger women and older women, cervical cancer screening, and so forth, down to well child visits and antidepressant medication. So just to give you an example of how we calculate this, pretend that I put all the measures on there. I just added plus 7 additional measures because I think if we put them all, you wouldn't be able to see anything. But so we had all of the measures that were on the previous slide. And we have our numerator, which is, in this case, for example, 16,433 diabetics received the hemoglobin A1C test. That's what we saw in the data. 14,814 diabetics received the LDL test, and so forth. We also have our denominator, and this is for the diabetes measures. That's the number of diabetics, 18 to 64, in our database. So that's why these two are equal, because both of those are looking at the whole population of diabetics. Breast cancer screening, you can see those numbers are a lot bigger because that includes all women in that age group, whether they got their breast cancer screening. And then so forth. So how we would normally calculate our HEDIS measure, we just do numerator divided by, it's very simple, numerator divided by not denominator times 100% to get a percent, and we get the percent receiving indicated care for each of those individual measures. But to do the composite, it's also quite simple. We just added up all our numerators, and of course these aren't going to match up because I haven't concluded all of them. Add up all of our denominators and then divide numerator by denominator. And in this case, we get 70%, which is our composite. And again, we could map this and look at how effective and preventive care compare between the states. We had an overall higher rate in Maine compared with Vermont. And you can see we can identify a couple areas where effective and preventive care is lagging behind, such as Morrisville, Vermont, Greenville, Maine, Calais, and Belfast and Rockland. Now, once we start to look at it this way, then usually the state will come back to us and say, well, why is the, you know, what's driving this? So then we would go back to the individual HEDIS measures and say, well, in Morrisville, your kids aren't gaining their well child visits and you're having trouble with diabetes care. But this allows us to sort of pinpoint, because looking at all the HEDIS measures, sometimes it's just too much data, so it's hard to see anything. So this allows you to pinpoint some areas and then think about how you're going to address these issues. Now, I'm sorry, this one didn't come out very good on the PowerPoint slide, but what this shows is each of these blue dots is one of the areas that I've been mapping. So the orange text is Maine, and the black text is Vermont. And this is how we look at value. And on the bottom axis, this is the combined effective and preventive care score, which I just showed you how we calculated it. And basically, you want to be farthest to the right, have a higher combined effective and preventive care score. On the y-axis, we have adjusted payments per member per month. So this is a measure of what people are paying for care. So the goal to have high-value care would be to be down in the lower right quadrant and to stay away from that upper left quadrant. So we have Greenville, Maine, that has the lowest value care. That's a very rural area. They barely have a hospital there. They do have a small medical center, but there's just an access issue there. Whereas Portland, Maine has two major medical centers, low cost of care because there's competition, and high value because people seem to have good access to care. So we do this a lot of times for employers who are interested in looking at how do my different departments compare, and are some departments getting better care, better value care. So they find this somewhat useful. Another way we use this is now I've plotted value on the y-axis, which is effective and preventive care, divided by adjusted payments, as we showed in the last graph. And on the bottom is primary care visits per 1,000 members. A lot of the new healthcare reform measures are trying to push people to primary care, and it's believed that primary care is going to provide better value for care. So we wanted to see if that was true in this population. And we did find that the more primary care visits people had, there did seem to be a little bit of a correlation with value. It's not huge, but there does seem to be people who are areas where people have better access to primary care or more likely to visit primary care physicians, they do seem to get better value care. And that makes a lot of sense considering we know primary care is a little bit, it tends to be cheaper than receiving care at the hospital. And we know that people are more likely to get their typical screening tests and things like that at the primary care setting. However, it's not a huge correlation, considering a lot of things are being, that's the premise of a lot of these new initiatives, like primary patient-centered medical home and things like that. And we think the reason why the correlation isn't stronger is that there's such discrepancy geographically in how hospitals are paid, at least within the state of Maine. We've done a lot of analyses that have shown like huge differences in the hospital payments. Some hospitals are just way more expensive, and we think that's probably actually the biggest driver of payments. So without addressing the hospital component of costs, you're never going to really get good value care. Okay. So finally, there are some advantages to using the combined effective and preventive care score, giving large numbers, that allows you to look at some of the small measures that they have small numbers, and it gives us this overall measure of value. But there are some limitations as well, and the way we calculated it, some of you may have noticed looking at all the denominators and numerators, some of these measures like cervical cancer screening, that includes all women aged 21 to 64, that's going to have a much larger denominator than something like cardiovascular medications for cholesterol medications for cardiovascular conditions. So it's kind of weighting towards certain measures. So we're still thinking about whether this is the best way to look at it, or if something like an average of averages might be better, or excluding certain measures, like the younger breast cancer screening, which is a little bit controversial, if that might be a way to go. And the results are impacted. They're not hugely impacted, but we've done sensitivity analyses, and there are some differences. So I think I've run out of time, so thank you, and appreciate your time.